Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring on this spectacular Sunday, and Amen. That's my fine wife, Beth.
It is.
Today we're going to discuss seven facts about the abundance that God has for us.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Sounds like a great thing to discuss.
It is. Well, make no mistake about it. First off, make no mistake about it. God wants you abounding in abundance. Why? If for no other reason, consider the words of 2 Corinthians 9:8. 2 Corinthians 9:8, which says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work."
Hallelujah.
Amplified translation of 2 Corinthians 9:8 says it this way: "And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always have and under all circumstances and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation." There are seven facts about God's abundance for each of us.
Yes, indeed. Excuse me. Fact one, we were created in abundance. Think of that. We serve an abundant God. His creation provides it. He created abundant water, land, mountains, animals, plants, trees, insects, and so much more. It only makes sense that he would desire for our lives to abound too. And the word of God agrees. Ephesians 3:20 and 21 says this: "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. Amen." These scriptures contain three critical points. First, God not only wants to give us more than we can ask, he clearly states he wants to give us more than we can even think.
Hallelujah.
That is a hallelujah statement about that scripture for sure. It's difficult enough to understand God giving us more than we can ask, but according to the verse, we can stretch our imaginations as far as it will go, and we will still come short of God's desire for us. Wow. Second, God wants to give us this unlimited blessing according to the power that worketh in us. His promises operate through us only to the degree that we allow his power to operate through us. Our relationship with God is so critical. We must be totally submissive to his will in our lives if we are able to break into this wonderful realm of, quote, above all we can ask or think, end quote. And third, we see the true purpose of this abundance. Contrary to the beliefs of many Christians, God intends abundance for us so that we will not be hindered from bringing glory to him. Remember, this realm of more than we could ask or think belongs to those who want to seek his glory, not their own. So let's say it again. The realm of more than we can ask or think belongs to those who seek his glory, not our own. We cannot effectively evangelize our communities for God from a position of poverty. However, when we walk in the abundance of God and go beyond simply meeting our own needs, we can do some powerful and incredible things for the kingdom of God. We can more easily further God's plan when we don't have to worry about basic needs like rent, groceries, utilities, and car payments. In the realm of all we can ask or think, we will have enough resources available for all the ministries that God lays on our hearts. God wants to give us more than we can ask, more than we can think, because his plan is for us to be infinitely greater than we can ask or imagine. Most Christians, well, can't think in this realm because the tradition the enemy has used against them has crippled their divine imagination with thoughts of impossibility and insufficiency. He'll crowd as many thoughts as he can in your mind about that. By faith, though, we can break out of the insufficiency thinking, or really, like the children of Israel, slave mentality, and God will open new visions of abundance that exceed anything we can imagine. He wants us to flourish in his abundance so that we will have more than enough to finance the end time harvest.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Fact number two, we must begin walking in abundance. Congratulations. You've just taken the first step to walking in abundance because now you know scripturally that's what God intends for his children. Once you know God declares abundance for you, you're ready to take the second step. Right now, we need to perform an effective giving and receiving covenant with God. I'd like for you to pray this prayer out loud with me to the Lord. Dear Lord, I sincerely desire to give an ever-increasing portion of wealth to you for financing your great end-time harvest. Today, I solemnly pledge to become more involved in the spreading of the gospel by sowing money into the kingdom of God. I will begin by sowing on a weekly basis into your work in addition to the tithe. Beginning today by faith, I am planting some money seeds to start your flow of abundance in my life. I promise that as you multiply a money harvest back to me, I will always reinvest a generous portion into the gospel. Thank you, Lord, for revealing these principles of biblical economics to me. I am now determined to unleash these bold new principles into your life. I thank you now for your abundance, which this positive action on my part will bring to pass soon. Amen.
It's not an accident that today is Sunday. You can tithe and open the windows of heaven.
Absolutely.
And then give where you feel led to give. Now, take the critical third step. Exercise the covenant. Not only must you know God's principles of biblical economics and make a covenant with God, you need to faithfully exercise the covenant. You must now put these principles to work. As I mentioned a minute ago, tithing opens up the windows of heaven. And begin giving today, and God will begin blessing and returning to you larger and larger amounts of wealth to liberally invest in the gospel. Luke 6:38 very plainly says, give, and it shall be given unto you. When you give at your local church and you give to ministries God puts on your heart, always remember that your increase does not come from the specific ministry to which you give. You are really giving to God's work, and he has no limit on the ways he will choose to give funds back to you.
That's so true. Fact number three, there's prosperity in abundance. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. In the natural realm, the proper way to achieve abundance is to keep all the wealth we can, carefully tucking it away to a safe place and drawing a moderate rate of interest. We believe it will gradually grow to even more wealth. However, that's not God's plan for the greatest increase in wealth. In God's word, we read we must first give away which we want to accumulate. If we desire abundance in finances, we need to give away part of our finances. Paul wrote this principle, Philippians 4:15-17. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent me once and again to my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit, finances, that they would abound to your account. To have prosperity and abundance, you must first begin to give, creating a new life-giving flow to your finances. Stagnant finances cannot draw new money to you. We need to remember that Paul said giving and receiving are interrelated and interdependent upon each other. Now you're beginning to realize the true meaning of the following passage. Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Unfortunately, even with this clear disclosure of God's viewpoint, most Christians are not thinking the thoughts of God about money. For as long as we've heard, it is wrong to seek prosperity by those whose ideas did come from God. In Scripture, he plainly declares in Deuteronomy 8:18, But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to thy fathers, as it is this day. If God did not desire for you to have abundance, he would not have given you the power to get wealth. If God did not want you to prosper, the Apostle John would not have prayed this prayer in 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. We're going to finish this on tomorrow, on tomorrow's call. But I want to say this to you. Join us tonight.
Yes.
6 p.m. Eastern for Rich Thoughts TV. You can go to Facebook at Brother Harold and watch it. We'll have an outline there, and we'll have an outline on our website. And just get a hold of it. It'll bless you. It really will. And we'll be together again.
That's it.
Tonight at 6 and every morning at 8:30. And until then, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye. And that sounded too abrupt. We love you. We appreciate you. And we thank God for you. Bye-bye. That sounds better, doesn't it?